in the long run, it's much better to always take a step back and just ask why something is the way it is, or why it is working the way it is, or why things are the way they are and how they work. Because that way you get a much deeper understanding of things, and that will help you in the future to be much quicker.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on at JS World Conf on Twitter.
Everyone, welcome to another JS World podcast. I'm Anuradha, working as front-end consultant at Passionate People, and I have with me my colleague.
Konstantin, helping on Vue and Node.js ambassador. And we also have...
Thorsten, hi.
So thank you for being here, Thorsten. How did your talk go? So you just gave a talk.
It went well, yeah. I was fortunate enough that somebody before me was quicker than planned, so I had a couple more minutes and I used them. So that was thank you to whoever did that.
that's awesome.
So, yeah, could you tell us a bit more about your talk? What was the subject and what's the actual goal of it?
Yeah, so I've actually been planning to address this for probably a year. Like a year ago, I started to make a list of the actual differences in the API between V2 and V3 and was trying to figure out which differences are probably able to be bridged in some way between the versions, which differences are just something you have to accept and which differences are actually something you can ignore. And then I started to think about, okay, but it's not just the API differences. It's you also have like all of the different dependencies that are now there, because we have a new compiler, we have new test utils, we have new this, new that. And so how do you actually set up the project? And so it was like a rabbit hole that I went down for a couple of months, not every day. So it's not like I invested weeks and weeks into this, but it's just whenever I had a bit of time, I tried to figure out the next problem and the next problem. And I started to write a bit of documentation and I started to write a bit of code. And so in the end, I thought this is a nice topic for a talk, not in the least to like motivate me to keep going, because now I have put it out there. Yeah. And so it would be a little bit embarrassing to like let it die. Yeah.
But at the same point, you also have the benefit of people coming to you and maybe suggesting
hopefully. So the main point was that I think one of the main hurdles in the current ecosystem is that a lot of authors of libraries, and I'm not talking about the big ones like Nuxt or Vuedify, but there are very nice packages that are maintained by a single author, and now they're in the situation. Maybe they themselves, even in their day-to-day work, are still in V2, and they get requests to support V3, but then they have two versions of the same package to maintain. And because they still have a lot of users on V2, and they have new users on V3, and now they have double the work. So
do you think that Vuedemy, for example, could help regarding this? Or
I cover this in the documentation a bit, because Vuedemy has a different focus. Vuedemy is basically meant to bridge, to ensure compatibility between V3 and V2 plus the Composition API plugin. So it's completely focused on the Composition API and the script block in your component. And so it doesn't really care about, it doesn't give any guidance about templates or what to do with the difference in style syntax and what to do with the different tooling.
When you were doing all the comparisons and everything, so I wanted to know, like, what is the most difficult thing which you found, like, to bridge the gap between 2 and 3? Like, what were the main pain points?
The main pain points for me to figure out were actually what the ideal project setup is, because I initially tried to keep it simple and have one package JSON and just have all of the dependencies listed in there, but I quickly found you have two Vue packages, you need both versions in there, so you have to use aliases, and then you have the template compiler yelling at you because the package is the wrong name, and all of these things. And so it was very tricky to test all of this out and then move it into, like, I have a monorepo where I have these small packages that I introduced in the talk, and then I have other workspace folders that are like demo two demo apps and two demo packages. And just figuring out all of that and how it works together was quite a challenge for me personally. But yeah, that is probably like figuring out this dependency stuff and then realizing you have to use a monorepo in one way or another probably is scary, I think, for most people who are not used to working with them.
And but also, does it work with any kind of monorepo, like NX, PNPM, or did you try a few of them? Or?
Well, I still have to figure it out with NPM, I think. For the best thing, in my opinion, is PNPM, because it has the, it doesn't hoist everything into the upper node modules. Mm. And so you don't end up with, so what I noticed with Yarn is that unless you, Yarn gives you this no hoist options where you can like force it to keep stuff in the individual work packages, but by default it hoists everything up. Mm. And then it becomes quite random which of the Vue versions that you have is the one hoisted to the top and which is the one nested somewhere. And so that is kind of random. And so that is a bit trickier to figure out. I still have to write a guide for that. And I didn't really test it with NPM so far.
Okay.
Yeah, but you basically have to find a way to make sure that the dependencies are resolved in the scope of the individual workspace package and not all lumped into the main node modules, because then you get all these conflicts again.
Conflicts, yes.
And what do you think will be the next step in, like, I don't know, the upcoming months regarding this project?
Well, I still have two things that I want to do. First of all, I want to finish the documentation, because it's still rough in places and it's still missing a couple of pages. That's more or less like just time that I need for it. And the second thing is that I still need to complete all of the tests for the features that I have so far. I also want to add Cypress into the mix, because I have these two demo applications that would actually allow me to also like have end-to-end tests of the UI, that it also works in the browser and not just in the unit tests. But those are like the two next steps that I think would be needed to at least have like a beta version that is usable and that is reliable in a way. Yeah.
By the way, you spoke about Cypress, so does it mean that your project is builder agnostic? Does it work with Vite and Webpack at the same time?
That is another important point, thank you. So I have four packages in this project. One is an ESLint config, which is of course independent. One is a runtime package, which is independent. One is a wrapper for the test tools, which probably everybody uses that writes Vue tests in a way. And the last one is a Vite plugin. And that for now just works with Vite, but there is a cool project that is called Unplugin for Universal plugin.
Yeah,
and so my plan is to like convert this plugin into an unplugin, and then you have like, you can probably use it in Webpack and Rollup and Vite, and I don't know what else they support.
I mean, I just asked it because, you know, now we have Vitest from Anthony's team, so that's why,
Yeah.
But this will be indeed a great idea of pulling it into the NGS organization.
And not necessarily an organization, but it's like a...
make it agnostic anyway.
Sounds
good.
Yeah, it really sounds very interesting. I wanted to ask, is this like open source project or your project? This is open source?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Sure. No, because you're talking about documentation and stuff, so I think others can also come in and help.
It's open source, so they
need all hands on deck. So if someone is interested, they can contribute to the project.
You open source it 2 or 3 hours ago. So
I already found one possible contributor on the way to the interview. So.
Okay. So apart from open source and the technical work, what else are your hobbies, or how do you spend your time?
Since I don't do really much coding in my actual job, I'm working as product owner of a developer team. Coding is one of my hobbies, so it's one of my like where other people do crosswords to like challenge their brain. That is like I need to do a little bit of programming just to get my head going.
So you are doing coding as a hobby, and you are giving conference talks and stuff. Wow, that sounds really amazing. I would really be interested in knowing then how your conference talks journey started.
I Well, I joined the Vue.js core team basically because I was answering all the questions on the forums back in the days, and now on the Discord, because that is just my that is my day-to-day challenge, right? Yeah. I read about someone's problem and I say, okay, that sounds complex, but not too complex that it takes too long. So those are my bite-sized crossword puzzles that I get whenever I need something a little challenging. And so that's how I got into the core team, just because I like ran the community side of it. And then I just started contributing code and getting more confident in that regard. And so I'm aware that I'm not like a full developer in the sense that I know all the processes and I have all the work experience, but I have deep experience in JavaScript itself and especially in Vue, and so that is enough to give a good talk. Like, but when I also work with developers, right? So in my day-to-day job, and I realize that they have a much broader set of skills that I probably don't have because I don't do that in the actual day-to-day work.
I think you are a developer still. Like, if you're coding, you are a developer.
And to me, I didn't say it before, but yeah, Linus was kind of a mentor for me because for me, it was really like the helper guru that I found on Stack Overflow. So now I'm doing that, and he's more into Discord. And yeah, but for me, he was really the guy who answers any Vue-related questions. So,
you know that I just realized who you are.
okay.
Because your Twitter image is with a large pair of sunglasses.
I updated it, but now I'm Kisu.
Of course, yeah. I read that tweet. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, when you were saying, I'm like, okay. I can see one person who I really know who is doing like everything on Stack Overflow.
For me, this was really an inspiration. And,
thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
But it's not my only hobby. Like, I play PlayStation like a good developer does.
Damn, I'm not a good developer then.
We are bad.
What a realization.
I like to go snowboarding. I like to ride my longboard.
Where do you snowboard? In Germany?
The Alps. Switzerland or mostly Austria, because Switzerland is so expensive. Austria, usually, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, do you like to wrap up with the question?
So we
would like to ask one last question, which is any life hack or developer hack which you can share with us.
Thinking about like the helping stuff in the forum, I think it's not really a hack, but I just can only recommend people to stay curious. And I know in your day-to-day work, you just have to get shit done, right? You know, you just have to find solutions to your problems and then move on to the next thing. But I think in the long run, it's much better to always take a step back and just ask why something is the way it is, or why it is working the way it is, or why things are the way they are and how they work. Because that way you get a much deeper understanding of things, and that will help you in the future to be much quicker with things. And it's not just about programming, it's basically probably about life. But that's also how I got great with Vue, because it can be a drawback if you don't ask questions, which is a problem of mine. Like I take too long to actually ask for help. On the flip side, whenever I encounter a problem, I start digging. So I don't stay on the surface. I just always go deep down into the thick of it, right? And so that way you learn much more. And especially if you answer other people's questions, you have to understand the problem that you are answering.
Yeah,
instead of just throwing something out there and just copy pasting something.
Coming from a PO, this is a really nice thing to say because usually, product owners are
PO and developer.
this is also why he's in the good middle ground of.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't spend hours on it, and get things done quickly. So really nice.
Yeah,
one.
I'm not sure if my developer team is happy or unhappy that I'm technologically. That I know
experience,
stuff.
Experience. Yeah.
So they know they can come to me and explain problems, and I can understand them to a high
positive,
degree.
It's actually positive, right?
Yeah.
Because then you know from developer perspective that how things can.
And especially you are a bit out of it, so you can also get a broader scope.
But I have to like always brace myself a bit to like remind myself that, yeah, I know some things, but it's still there, the develop team, and I'm the product owner, so I have, always have to try and keep myself from going too deep into it and to like make recommendations about what to use and stuff, because that's not my job in that role.
Let them do their job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like when I'm helping people with next questions, I'm saying, oh yeah, they are doing it like this, but I'm not part of the core team, so I can't really speak for Daniel Rowe, for example, himself. Or probably Daniel will do it like this, so I don't know, but yeah, it's more like of counseling, giving advices to people than saying, oh, all right, this is the way to go.
Yeah. And
being
also
open-minded is super nice.
And it's also a good thing that, or a skill that I think many developers like, at least the ones that I encounter on Discord that are seeking help, is that many don't really know how to ask a good question.
Yeah.
So that's a skill that you should develop.
Yeah.
Like, many people are asking, like, how do I do X? Instead of asking, I have this problem. Hmm. How can I solve this problem? Or I want to achieve this thing. What are the ways that I can achieve it?
Because, and you also have the XY problem.
Yeah, that's exactly one of the main problems.
For people who don't know, is like, all right, so how do you achieve this? But this is like the second question of the main one that you have.
Okay.
And so usually, even if you ask the why question, it doesn't help you because you probably don't have the right approach from the start. So,
yeah.
And so, yeah, getting to give a reproduction in enough context and all of those mandatory things, it's not trivial, as you can daily see on Stack Overflow or any place. Yeah.
Cool. We really got very insightful stuff, right? So thank you so much. I mean, and to the audience, like, he's just dropping gems. So yeah, thank you so much for having with us today. It was very fun talking to you.
Yeah,
likewise. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.